Oh my gosh, I am searching for my rabbi once again, but Dorian moved him to the north and he hasn't been able to come back. Actually, that's not true. This is a Priest and a Rabbi podcast. You're expecting where the rabbi is. He actually went to Chicago to do some good old rabbi work, and then Dorian came and would not allow him to come back. So today I'm bringing on a the next best thing you can get. He's not a rabbi.
No, but I play one on TV.
And he's not Jewish, but...
I play one on TV.
And he also worships a rabbi.
Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ.
So we have Barry Grant Marsh, who is no stranger to the microphone.
Absolutely not.
You Why? Can tell by his voice that he just has no voice for radio.
Why? Why? Because it's a broadcasting family. That's what it is.
So we have Bear here, and Barry, you wrote a book.
I did. I wrote a book. It's called Witness Tampering, My Story Coming to Christ Out of Jehovah's Witnesses.
And we are bringing on Barry to talk about this because we're going to talk about what exactly is a cult. We'll examine that through Barry's lens, through his experience, and then talk about it also broadly about these hallmarks that make up a cult. So what is it? What is just the plain old definition of it when you look at Merriam-Webster? But what do other folks who have either left cults, been in cults, and not just third parties who comment on cults, but those folks, that's why it's important to have someone like Barry on here, because Barry's had experience of living in these hallmarks of what makes a cult. And so we're going to talk about that. And because it's sometimes used as a broad word, you know, there's a cult of personality. And so and we invite others who have ever maybe been a part of any kind of cultish group, whether it's secular or religious, to engage with this podcast. We're just very grateful that you're here. And if you enjoy this podcast, please do share it, because that's how this community grows. So whatever one you're on, you know, take a screenshot and throw it up on your Facebook page or Instagram and say, hey, these Priest and Rabbi, it's a good time. And especially today, because it's an important topic, a powerful one. And we got a good guy as Barry, who always keeps it entertaining.
Yes.
Even in the silence.
Even in the silence, yes. Sometimes dead air is better than no air at all.
And sometimes bad air is better than air at all.
As they say.
Is that true?
No, they say halitosis is better than no breath at all. That's what they say.
Yeah. 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 Now, is that true? I mean, I guess so. You still want to have breath, but if you got to have halitosis.
It's something else.
That is a good question.
Yeah. But you're going to love what we have for you in this podcast.
So we're going to get ready to roll here. God bless you, and enjoy the show.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts and their guests and are not necessarily those of WSTU, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Temple Beit Haim. Products that may be mentioned are not necessarily intended as an endorsement. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited. And now, WSTU presents A Priest and a Rabbi. Call in with questions and comments at 220-9788. 220-WSTU. Now, here's your host.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Father Christian here from A Priest and a Rabbi on WSTU 1450. And all you folks in Martin County, if we're lucky, Vero Beach, and if we're really lucky, Palm Beach County, God bless you all on this day. There's so much to be grateful for, but also so much that God calls us to do right now for our brothers and sisters in the Bahamas and for those on the East Coast. Today, we got a fun show, an awesome show, and unfortunately, we had to do it without the rabbi because the rabbi had to go and do some rabbi stuff out in Chicago, and when that happened, then Dorian said, "You ain't coming back." So my best bud, the rabbi, is out there. So instead, I brought in one of the closest people I know who's not a rabbi. I brought in Barry Grant Marsh, who is, you might be familiar to the sound of his voice in this neck of the woods, because he has been a broadcaster from here to Kathmandu, and
yes, that's right. Kathmandu is very, very close to my heart.
Yeah, yes, and not afraid to be, you know, offensive towards other cultures, and he's a man without boundaries. So get ready, buckle your seatbelt, because a priest and a rabbi is about to go. A priest and a And a wild man.
Yes, it's wonderful to be here, first of all, because this show is just absolutely off the rails. A priest and a rabbi, you know, first of all, it sounds like a joke that
right.
should be told in a stand-up comedy act, but it has a great value, and really appreciate the opportunity of being here, and we got a great subject that we're going to talk about.
We do have a great subject. We have a subject about cults. Today, we're going to be talking about what is a cult, because you hear the name thrown around a lot, and it's often referred to like Branch Davidian or something that's quite strange or unique, but then you know, now then this new age culture where there's all these other folk religions popping up and different kind of like, are they self-help seminars or are they something, deeper? Mm-hmm. A cult gets thrown around and also gets thrown around for, or used, let me say, for various denominations of various religions. So we want to know, and I want to know, let's talk about what exactly is a cult, and then we'll look at the rabbi's take on it when he gets back, see if we have the same, his reflection from a Judaic standpoint. But so, Barry Grant Marsh, you wrote a book about this, and it's not only a book, but it's a book, it's a first-person autobiographical book, because you, in your book, you talk about your own leaving of a cult.
Yes, and I have to tell you this because, I think it's appropriate since we're talking about cults, because the original title of this book, Witness Tampering, and of course the underlining title is My Story: Coming to Christ Out of Jehovah's Witnesses. The original title for my book was My Story of Coming to Christ Out of a Cult. That was the original title.
Sure.
But the publisher decided to say, well, why don't we just narrow that down and say, you know, since you're talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, and since, that's where you came from, that's where you need to put your title.
And how'd you feel about that when they made that?
I said fine, because, they're the professionals, and I wanted to do something that was going to be specific, and since I was talking about my being in Jehovah's Witnesses for over 30 years, and my mother and dad being in Jehovah's Witnesses for over 50 years, I thought it was high time that we mention the religion, Jehovah's Witnesses.
All right, so here's it. We, most of us, hopefully, are familiar with Jehovah's Witnesses, know Jehovah's Witnesses, and I've never thought of them as a cult. And so, for all of us who have friends or relatives, maybe who are in it, do you think this would be the take on from a lot of people who have left the faith, that they would use the C word?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yes. And very definitely, because it has a lot of earmarks of what a cult really is.
So let's get into that. So you, in your book, you list four hallmarks, right? Of what a cult is, and what are those four?
Well, a funny thing you should ask. I brought a book of what the cults believe, and I studied under this professor, Irvin Robertson. He had a great Scottish brogue.
Mm-hmm.
He has gone home to the Lord, but he wrote this book many years ago called What the Cults Believe. And in that book, and I quoted in my book, he actually sets out what the four distinctions of what a cult is compared to what Orthodox religions believe. And if you look at that as it is, you'll absolutely see what a cult is according to Orthodox religion. And that is, the hallmarks are the doctrine of the Trinity. A cult doesn't believe in the Trinity.
So now we're talking particularly a cult from a Christian perspective.
A Christian perspective,
gotcha.
Yes. And so non-doctrine, Trinity, no, it does not go in the cult. The doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. They usually just view him as a good man.
Right.
A good human.
Okay.
Came and taught good things. The personality of the Holy Spirit. That's another thing that cults do not believe in. And the immortality of the soul.
Now, could this be, to me, that just sounds like, well, just differing theology, let's put it that way, from a Christian perspective, as opposed to a cult. Couldn't that just be, well, they have bad theology to other, well, the rest of Christendom might be like, that's weird theology, but right. I wouldn't say that's...
But if you think about it, what you're doing there is taking out the precepts of what Christians believe is the whole reason for our worship as Christians.
Sure.
And so I'm a parishioner at St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and I love that church. And one of the things that I really love about it is the liturgy that we have. And one of the things that we do, I attend the Saturday Night Live at 5 service at St. Mary's Episcopal Church. It's a great...
Do you guys do improv there?
Yeah, we do a little bit of improv. Only when we have a guy by the name of Christian Anderson doing the... as long as he's part of the clergy there, yes, we usually have a little stand-up.
It looks like Whose Line Is It Anyways at the altar.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Exactly. It's great. But yeah, we have a wonderful time. But we have... a portion of the service where we actually do the Nicene Creed. And when we talk and we relate that and we talk about that, and we also repeat it with the priest, it says everything in there that we believe as Orthodox Christianity.
So could it just be that Jehovah's Witness is more just an unorthodox, could they be labeled as just an unorthodox sect of... one interpretation of the Christian scripture or of the Bible?
Well, when you look at it from a standpoint of if you do not believe as they believe, and if you're caught by the organization not believing what they believe, then you are disfellowshipped, as they say, from that organization, and you are shunned by those within the organization.
I believe you guys have tried to do that to me at St. Mary's a couple of times.
Yeah. I don't think so. No, we don't believe in that, and we would not do that. But I'll tell you one thing. It's a very difficult situation for people who, you know, I've seen families just absolutely break apart because of this thought that they're going to control. And that's another thing that, that is a hallmark of a cult.
Right.
You're going to control the thinking and the reading, and every facet of that person's life is going to be built around these precepts, whether they be Orthodox Christianity or they're not Orthodox Christianity. They're built around these precepts, and you totally control, the cult totally controls that individual and that individual's thinking. And imagine somebody telling you, Father Christian, that you're not going to talk to your mother because she's been disfellowshipped. She's not part of the organization anymore.
Yeah, to me, that kind of control, that definitely rings out to mine non-cultish ears. Since yes. I'm not a scholar in cults, but that control that you were saying and the shunning. To me, yeah, that rings out like a cult. Those seems like two hallmarks. The other ones, personally for me, seem more about the theology is just very different than ours. And so from a Christian standpoint, people might challenge, well, are you really Christian? Maybe not. Can we look at the scriptures? We have some differing views on this. But the controlling and the shunning, for sure. I was looking at what Miriam said for what exactly is a cult. And sometimes these definitions are so general and so broad, you can refer to a lot of different denominations of Christianity this way. But it says a religion regarded as unorthodox or spurious, a great devotion to a person, idea, object, or movement. But a great devotion to a person, idea, object. I mean, we have a great devotion to a, Well, we say Jesus is fully man, but he's also fully God. So maybe that doesn't fit. And formal religious veneration. But the one, there was one site where there was a guy who does a lot of, from a Christian perspective, he does seven signs of what a cult is to him. And these seven signs, I'm curious what you think about this, rang out to me and to see what you thought from your own experience as well. Said, number one was opposing critical thinking.
Yes.
Right? Two, isolating members and pending penalizing them for leaving. So there's a penalization thing that happens. Yes. Number three, emphasizing doctrines outside of Scripture. All right, so maybe coming up with your own rules here. Seeking inappropriate loyalty to their leaders. Dishonoring the family unit, which you mentioned something like that. And I've heard that from other folks who've been involved with other organizations where it says you gotta really, even from Christian denominations, do not associate with that part of the family because they're not believers.
Absolutely.
And you're breaking up the family, right? Six, crossing biblical boundaries on behavior. And they said most notably sexual and in other ways.
Yes.
That and then separation from church. So there's this common theme here of like, of inappropriate behavior, but also disuniting families and friends.
Right.
And then this control from not allowing you to be a critical thinker of saying, well, you're not allowed to question or dig deeper or bring up, you know, just have doubt that's an issue.
Absolutely. And then, you know, looking at it from my perspective of being in Jehovah's Witnesses for over 30 years, one of the things that they really emphasized was that we don't suggest that you go to college. Don't further your education in this world. You need to further your education in this religion, in this organization. And they're venerating the organization because the organization has the top echelon of religious thinking within that particular religion. Within now, that cult.
Now, Jehovah's Witnesses is a pretty large
millions. There's millions of okay. Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's all over the world. I mean, you can go anywhere in any continent and find Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, recently, I think it was just been about a year and a half ago, the Russian government under Putin actually declared them to be banned in Russia.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's one of the things that's another hallmark of what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. So when they look at wherever they're banned or wherever they're treated unfairly or wherever they have a situation where they may be, you know, put in prison or killed for their beliefs, then they say, well, that's a hallmark of being in the truth. Is
sure.
What they say.
Sure. 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 Sure.
I mean, this is a hallmark, and now we have our badge of honor as being true. You know, because why would they ban us, and they're not going to ban somebody who's an Episcopalian or somebody who is Jewish? How come they're not banning them? No, they're banning Jehovah's Witnesses. So again, that leads back to their thinking that oh yes, we must have the truth because Satan comes up against us, and that's the way it is.
So from your experience, was it a challenge when you were involved with the Witnesses? Is that for critical thinking? Was that invited?
Absolutely not. No. There was no critical thinking. You believed what the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society had to say. And if you deviated from that particular thinking, then you were, you know, you were heretical. We need to have a committee meeting and bring you before the committee and see where your thinking is off here and get you back on track.
Now, could it possibly be, because I've heard of other, I've heard of Christian denominations doing this sort of thing as well, where if you're wearing the wrong clothes, if you're saying the wrong things, if your behavior is not fitting the house rules, that you might have to come before the pastoral committee, and there might be some talking to, and maybe some penalization, and critical thinking is not invited. So if there is a sect of Christianity, a denomination that is doing those same, fitting those same hallmarks, could we say that that is a cult?
again, I would go back to those four mainstream Orthodox beliefs. And have we seen over the course of many, many centuries in Christianity where we have, as a Christian religion, been against things like scientific thought and that sort of thing? Yes, we have. Some people have been burned at the stake for, you know, putting out copies of the Bible.
Right.
You know, others have been, you know, really just been obliterated as far as their professional careers are concerned because they believed in certain scientific proof that we know is true. And yet, you know, after a while, the church may come back and say, well, we were wrong about that. Sorry. You know, and those kind of things do happen. Now, I can tell you that how many denominations do we have within the Protestant side of Christianity?
About 10,385 at this moment. Now, wait another half hour. I'll probably go up twofold.
Yes. And I would say this. One of the things, and this is going to be in my next book, which is Witness Tampering 2.
T-O-O or the number 2?
No, the number 2. Witness Tampering 2. And I'm going to be talking about, in this book, I'm going to be talking about my being in the Christian religion and what I experienced after leaving Jehovah's Witnesses. And one of the things, you probably have never done this, but have you ever gone through a church split?
Well, we have experienced it as a denomination, yes. As the Episcopal Church. We've had, and unfortunately, there was a split, yeah,
yes.
Not too long ago.
Okay. Well, when you go through a church split, you see where you have this area, what you were talking about, where you say, well, that's that line of critical thinking is not what we believe, so we're going to step on over here, and you're going to go on your merry way.
Right.
And happens in the church split. Then you see a lot of non-denominational churches springing up,
right,
and saying, okay, well, this is what we believe, so if you believe like we believe, come on over. We'd yes. love to have you.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things that happen within the Christian orthodoxy, and yet they still believe in the deity of Christ. They still believe in the immortality of the soul. They still believe in the Trinity, and they still believe in the personality of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, those are the things that I would say that every Christian, every Orthodox Christian, that's a hill to die on.
Yes. Now, and I think that's a theological hill to die on. But isn't there, from this, as we continue to parse out the word cult, but this. Wouldn't you, I guess this makes it bigger than just a Christian cult, but doesn't there have to be a hallmark of the control and the shunning and the shutting down of critical thinking? I mean, doesn't that have to be included in the definition of what a cult is?
I definitely feel that that's true. I definitely yeah. feel that that's true because, and, you know, cults can take, I mean, you had the... You mentioned the Branch Davidians at the top of the show here, and you know that was a very small cult. But then you go back in history and you think about Jonestown,
right? Right.
And there were hundreds of people that drank the Kool-Aid,
literally, yes.
You know, and didn't make it out of there.
Wasn't it thousands?
I think it was about 1,000.
Because I mean, at its heyday, I was watching a documentary on it a while ago. In its heyday, man, it was thriving. Where yes. were they? Seattle? Where were they?
I thought they were in California, but
you're
I could be wrong.
No, yeah, I think you're right. Up in Maine, San Fran. But I mean, and it yeah. looked and the documentary was great because it showed the good parts first. You're like, well, what's sure. wrong with this? And this guy is getting this great diverse group of people.
Right.
He's got rich and poor and black and white, and they're all together and loving each other during a time when that wasn't really acceptable. And it was this wonderful thing, and they're doing good things in the world, and then it gets weird.
Yeah.
And then it gets weird, and you find out that he's inappropriate using his power. He's sleeping with some of the girls. He's God knows how many others. And then we all know it gets real bad when they get off the reservation, and they get, an island somewhere? Or where do they go? Or no, they went to another country.
They went to South America.
South America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was Guyana. And
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they had this, they had their own little place, you know.
So they could control the thought, control everything.
Absolutely. And so, you know, a lot of people have asked me about this, and this was something that I didn't put in my book, Witness Tampering, but they asked me, how come when I pass by a Kingdom Hall, and that's where Jehovah's Witnesses worship, they worship in their Kingdom Halls, how come they don't have any windows? Why is that? You know, we have beautiful stained glass windows at St. Mary's, and it's absolutely gorgeous, and it adds to the entire experience
right.
of coming to St. Mary's. And
because they're subcontracted as an escape room? No? No.
Well, kind of. In the minds of Jehovah's Witnesses, that's what they will tell you. Yeah, we want you to be totally safe. Because, you know, we don't want anybody throwing rocks, and this is a safe room where you can come, you know, when Armageddon hits, you know, hey, you can go to the Kingdom Hall and be totally safe because, hey, there's no windows in the Kingdom Hall. Well, my thought on that is this, is that if there's no outside influence, well, you can't look outside the window when things are going on the platform. And they're talking about what they want you to know and what you must be programmed with, then all your attention is face forward, and that's what they want.
This is all fascinating stuff here. And a priest and a rabbi, we are here with Barry Grant Marsh, who is author of Witness Tampering, My Story of Coming to Christ out of Jehovah's Witnesses. If you have a thought on anything that's been said today or a question for Barry, please give us a call here, 772-220-9788, or go onto A Priest and a Rabbi podcast Facebook page and leave a comment, or if you're on Twitter, A Priest, A Rabbi, and leave a comment, because we love it. I know this is a hot topic, an exciting topic, and there's so many directions to go. We'd love to hear from you. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to delve a little deeper into Barry's story as well, from his personal story, and then start parsing out even more so of who else could be a cult by these definitions. And but if you have a personal experience, we would love to hear from you. Again, 772-220-9788. What is a cult, and have you ever been in one, and what are your thoughts? We'll be right back here on A Priest and a Rabbi.
You're listening to A Priest and a Rabbi podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to subscribe, and please leave a rating and a review, 5-star rating and a positive review if you can. We certainly appreciate it. That is the best way to make sure that others out there just like you can find this podcast. If you want to get in contact with Father Christian and Rabbi Durbin, you can do so by emailing apriestandarabbi@gmail.com. And the absolute best way to get a hold of the fellas is to call into the radio show. This podcast airs live on the radio every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on WSTU 1450. And you can listen live online at WSTU1450.com. And if you want to join the show, you can call in to 772-220-9788. That's 772-220-WSTU.
Hey, everyone. This is Father Christian here on A Priest and a Rabbi. So happy for you to be here on this podcast with us. And I want to let you know that I have started a YouTube channel called Your Favorite Christian, and you can check it out on YouTube. And every Monday, I drop a new episode, and it's always through the lens of faith, but taking on different topics such as dating, relationships, marriage, pop culture. I've done one recently where I went out to the art show and talked about how do we find our relationship with God through what all the latest artists are doing. Last week was What Do Women Really Want in a Man, and interviewing different people to be a part of that. So please check that out on YouTube. Subscribe, like, share, put on the notification so you get that every Monday. I also want to let you know of this podcast wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a generous donor from St. Mary's Episcopal Church who wishes to remain anonymous. All he asked, though, was that the information gets out that St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Stuart has a healing center. And so you can call if you're looking for a counselor, someone to be there for you during during a challenging time. And you can call the church at 772-287-3244. We also have a group of Stephen ministers who have been trained, over 50 hours of training, to be with you and walk with you during a time of crisis. They are not counselors. They are trained just to be more the presence of Christ, or and walk with you during a time of crisis, whether it's a good crisis of having, oh my gosh, my daughter's about to get married, or if there's something a little bit heavier. So give us a call, 772-287-3244, and I thank that anonymous donor who makes this all possible. All right, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of the podcast. All right, welcome back to A Priest and a Rabbi. This is Father Christian from St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Stuart, Florida. And I got my guy, Barry Grant Marsh, who is feeling so good to be back in the broadcaster seat. It's one that he's done throughout his whole life, following the footsteps of his father, of being on air and bringing you the goodness and the love and the wildness, as we know, as BGM.
Yeah.
BGM Creative. So, buddy, how's it feel to be back in the chair?
Broadcasting is a great, great love of mine. It was a great experience. I watched my dad, do his thing, and I said, you know what? That's exactly what I want to do.
Oh,
I want to be part of that so badly. I can't stand it. And in 1968, it just bit the bullet right there. And I said, yep, get me in. And you know, a funny thing about it was, I didn't think that I was good enough. I wasn't sure whether I had the chops that my dad has, because, you know, when you're growing up with a professional in broadcasting and you're seeing this man do so many, you know, great things, and being on radio and television, and you say, wow, those are some big shoes to fill. And do I really have what it takes? And you know who was my best mentor on that? My dad.
Yeah.
My dad. He says, I'll never forget this. He recorded my first show on the radio, and it was so bad. It was so bad. Okay, I said, Dad, please, would you do me a favor? Would you call the program director and tell him I'm not going to come back tomorrow? I'm not going to, just call him and tell him I'm done. That's it. And he says, no. He says, I'm not going to do that. He says, you're going to go back in there. And he says, you're going to do this. He told me everything that I did wrong. And boy, did I do a lot of things wrong.
Right.
Okay. And so he says, no, I want you to go back in there. And here's what you're going to do. And you're going to do this. And you're going to continue to hone that craft. They've given you this opportunity. You're going to go for it. And he says, son, you either got it or you ain't got it. But he says, I believe you got it.
That's all you needed, man.
That's all I needed.
That's all you needed.
Wow. That affirmation.
That affirmation. And that affirmation is what we're asking. Can try to make a bridge here.
Yeah, really.
The affirmation is because today we're Good talking luck. About cults.
Yes.
And a lot of times they don't affirm your freedom as a critical thinker. And so we're trying to find these common threads as we talk about what is a cult. That's what we're talking about today. So if you're just tuning in here, please give us a call at 772-220-9788. That's 772-220-9788 about your thoughts on a cult, about Barry's story of leaving a cult. And we've been talking about these four main hallmarks of what makes a cult. And some of them are more from a doctrinal perspective, as in sort of the belief system, and particularly from a Christian perspective. But during the break, Barry and I were talking about, well, I asked him, what if there are some smaller Christian churches, and if the rabbi was here, I'd ask him if there's Jewish sects that would practice this idea, they might fit all those four doctrinal hallmarks that we mentioned earlier in the show. So they have the belief system. Mm-hmm. However, the behavioral part of it is very controlling, that women have to have to dress a certain way. You can't say certain words. If you don't really follow the way, you will be either punished or shunned.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this happens in some churches. I know even locally that their youth group is told not to really engage with other kids
yes.
outside because they are too secular or they don't get it. And I maybe understand they're afraid that they're going to get bad influences, but I think some of it is because they're not believers, don't hang out with the non-believers. So this shunning of those who are not a part of us, they're not like us, this kind of wall that we put around ourselves. And if you're not prepared to be on this side of the wall, then you probably need to leave. And then I said, so if someone does that but fits all the doctrinal hallmarks you mentioned before, are they a cult?
I would say yes, because here's what they're doing. Are they stripping you of your individuality? Okay, are they stripping you of your individuality,
okay.
and are they looking at you as you have to fit this form? If you don't fit this form, if you don't dress a certain way, you know, then you do dress a certain way, then you can't be part of what our faith is all about, what our religion is all about. Yeah, that's cultish. That's. They may not be branded as a cult, but they are cultish in their
yes.
thinking.
Yes. And do you think that cultish part just comes from, is there some kind of insecurity that I feel that a healthy religious organization is so confident that the truth that they're following is the truth and that it is so healthy and so good for you that it's okay for you to be exposed to the rest of the world because you have this great truth that's inside you and so you can interact with the world, you can be with the world, you can be because you need to evangelize anyhow.
Right.
And that you're so committed to this truth that you found. For us, it's following Jesus, and that I can go and be around some risky influences, but I'm not going to fall or I'm not going to be swayed or I'm pretty secure in who I am that. And I also really like people.
Right.
I don't want to shun people.
Exactly. And how is it that we can, as Christians, fulfill what the Jesus said, Matthew 28:20, about go and make disciples of all people, of all nations, kindreds and tongues. I mean, how can we do that without associating with these people in the world?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Jesus himself was hanging with a lot of, let's say, a lot of them could have been non-believers. They definitely weren't sold on him as the Messiah at first, but he was into something, and he was attracting Jews and Gentiles at times. There was Gentiles there, folks outside the flock, and he even says, I need to go and speak to other people outside the flock, which you mentioned
right.
in your book, that scripture a lot of times is used by, well, that's a hallmark scripture where Jesus says, I have another flock I need to attend to. I know the Mormons, we had a Mormon on our show,
mm-hmm.
and that was a mention to the Mormon tribe. That we have. So, you know, that idea of Jesus saying there are others, but to us, we interpret that as him expanding and opening it up to the rest of the world. And I think sometimes other denominations say, well, no, he's talking about us. This is our group over here.
Wouldn't that be preaching to the converted?
Yeah. I mean, right. And it's monopolizing. You're trying to monopolize.
Right. And, you know, you go back to a lot of examples in the Bible where, you know, how about the woman at the well?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we just had that at St. Mary's. We talked about had a scripture on the woman at the well, Jesus' experience of talking to this woman, and there she was, you know, shacking up with like five guys, and I think her thinking was a little bit, you know, kind of distorted.
Yeah.
I think we kind of shame her a little bit, I think, sometimes with our thinking.
She liked the bad boy, wasn't working out too well.
Exactly. But, you know, that didn't stop Jesus from telling her about the gospel and telling her about the living water that he had to offer.
Right.
And you know what? That's what we have. We have that living water that we can offer to the people that are looking for this type of, you know, redemption. And we have something wonderful that we need to share.
And he didn't tell her get saved or get lost.
Exactly.
He didn't go up to her and say, how do you want your afterlife, smoking or non?
Yeah, right.
He just told her, like, hey, there's this whole other way of doing things.
He said, awesome. go back and get your husband. And she said,
I'm not married. He's like, wow.
Yeah, well, you weren't married to the other guys that you were hanging out with. But bring him, and let's talk about this.
Let's get started. Yeah. All right, we got Tom from Stewart, who has just called in. And Tom has a story about engagement with Jehovah's Witnesses. So, Tom, welcome to A Priest and a Rabbi.
You bet. When I was living in a garage apartment in West Palm Beach, about 40 years ago, a Jehovah's Witness used to come over to my place about every 2 weeks or so, and I'd invite him in because I like to debate religion. And so while he was there, I said I'd give him cookies and milk and all, and I said, you know, I got this petition, and would you sign this petition for me? And it says, I will knowingly not buy any Japanese and Russian goods until they stop killing the great whales. And he says, oh, I can't sign that. And I says, why not? He says, if God wants the whales to go extinct, they'll go extinct. I says, okay. If God wants them to go extinct, they'll go extinct. So it doesn't matter if you sign this petition, right? Because it's up to God whether they go to... He says, that's right. I said, so sign my petition, and he wouldn't do it. And I says, you better get out that door as fast as you can before I put a size 11 up your rectum.
very well done for AM radio. We appreciate that.
Yeah, we had our producer. His finger was getting really close to the beep button. You know.
Yeah.
But
here's what Tom. This is Barry Marsh, and thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for that wonderful experience that you shared with us.
They're wackos. They won't fight for their country.
Yes, and they're non-political, and so what you ask that witness to do would be very much against what the witness creed would be, to be involved in any type of political experimentation or any kind of political joining in to sign a petition, thinking that this was to them a very political type of idea. So they do not vote, they do not register to vote, and they don't get involved in human politics. They're here for God's kingdom, and that is it. If you've ever seen on the copy of the Watchtower that maybe they've placed with you, it'll say announcing Jehovah's kingdom. Yeah, they're totally into a theocracy here on Earth, and that theocracy is being run by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And so they're totally controlled by that organization. And in fact, things have changed since I was baptized a Jehovah's Witness. They now baptize them into the organization rather than into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So
if they get their way and they turn us all into Jehovah's Witnesses, we'll be speaking Russian pretty soon, right?
Well, I don't think so, because they've been banned in Russia. So there you go. I don't think that it'll be Russian.
But the Russia will take over the United States.
Well,
because we won't fight.
Because
we're all Jehovah's Witnesses.
I understand. Yes, I understand that thinking is, yes, that is absolutely possible, okay? Because if you're going to be a conscientious objector and you're not going to be involved in the military, you're not going to be involved in voting, you can see where that thinking leads. And that's not exactly what the Bible shows, because if we look at the Bible, so many of the Roman centurions actually believed in Jesus Christ. And in fact, there was one example where the Roman centurion came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, if you'll just say that my servant will be healed, I'll believe it, and I know he'll be healed." And the example there was profound, because by the time the centurion left Jesus and got home, his servant was healed.
Right, right. Tom, we are so grateful, man, for you calling in. And Joe, I appreciate sharing the story. And take care of those size 11 shoes, buddy.
Righto. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right.
Bye. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you, Barry, have to as so that's an interesting part of this is that there is evangelization to we talk about how cults can be they can shelter and they can shun. But two major groups that get the cult label the Witnesses and also the Mormons. I've heard that. I never knew that some people, and I'm looking at your book right now, that not your personal book, but the book that you use for research.
Right.
He has Mormonism listed on there.
Yeah,
he does. I've heard of other Christian leaders, and I never thought of them as a cult. But these two groups are enormous, and they evangelize, though. So there is an evangelization aspect to it. So were you ever a part of – and those two groups, Witnesses and Mormons, are way more intentional than a lot of other Christian denominations, and and they have huge numbers, right? So, did you ever have to go and you go door to door and
absolutely?
And what was that like? Did you ever get any Toms who said, you know, if you take another step closer, I'm going to put my Tom shoe where the sun
don't absolutely
shine? Okay.
No, I definitely, and I'll never forget one time in Boynton where I grew up. I was with another young man. Who was joining me on the doorstep of somebody in Boynton Beach. And the guy says, get off my property right now. He says, you, and this older young man was with me. He was probably around 18 years of age. And this was during the Vietnam War. And he says, my son is over in Vietnam and you're over here with this trash.
Hmm.
And I'll never forget, he took his size 11 shoe and booted the bag that my accompanying Jehovah's Witness had laid down on his doorstep to open up the Bible and read him a scripture. That was the kind of things that happened to me on more than one occasion.
Did you ever feel threatened? But I mean, that that story.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely felt threatened and pretty shaken after that.
Did you guys have training to know what to do when it gets a little trepidatious like that, where there's a threatening situation?
Absolutely.
How to protect yourself? And
absolutely. All of that was taken care of in one of the five meetings each week that we would attend at the Kingdom Hall, because we would go to the service meeting. The service meeting was where witnesses would be trained to go into any type of situation and know how to react to that situation.
Gotcha. Now, so could you say that, and I'm just trying to think of an atheist who might say, yeah, well, you know, why is not any religion and all these other religious parts, but, let's say the Episcopal Church, why is that not a cult?
Well, I would say the Episcopal Church is not a cult because it does not, I feel, it doesn't control my total thinking. It's not an organization that would sit there and, well, I believe something different and shun me for what I believe.
Sure.
I think if I said, well, you know, I'm not sure whether we believe in the rapture, but I kind of do. But I don't think that the Episcopal Church, whether you're a post-millennial, you're a premillennial, or you're a
postmodernist,
whatever, would say, hey, you know what? You need to leave.
Right.
You know, let me show you something. What's that? The door. No, you know, they're not going to do that.
Sure.
So, you know, that I think is something that absolutely gravitates me to the Episcopal church.
Yeah, that Anglican three-legged stool, one of them being reason, right, is huge. You know, you got reason, tradition, and scripture that for the Anglican and Episcopal Church to believe in. And that is always, I've always celebrated that, that for the denomination to say reason is a key part of your exploration. If you have doubt, that's fine. Dig into the doubt, reveal the doubt, and share your doubt, because in that you allow God to come in and work with you and say, okay, help me through this. I'm really struggling with this idea, this thought, this the virgin birth, the Trinity. You know, you bring that up in your book that that you know, a lot of people throw the Bible around, throw different quotes around and say, well, it's here, it's in the Bible. The Bible says, But it's so funny, all of us as Trinitarian Christians can say, well, technically, the Trinity is not in the Bible.
Right, the word Trinity, you can't find
it's not in there.
You cannot find the word
this
Trinity.
This hallmark of what we all believe in is not there.
Exactly.
But we all know that it's spelled out in it, you know. So let me ask you a question. If there is someone listening who is thinking that I've been a part of a, whatever, it's a religious group, maybe it's a secular group that's starting to fit these marks, that they might not fit the four hallmarks you talked about before, doctrinally, but that does fit like the control, the shunning, the taking away my rational thought, not allowing me to really explore whatever the scripture is, or maybe there's a veneration of a certain person or object, right?
That's big.
It's a cult of personality.
Right.
What would your marks, because you talk about this in your book, how can they begin to say, like, maybe I need to taking steps forward to maybe exit this? And since you have done that, what's the healthy way to begin that process? I mean, cold turkey, or are there steps you want to take?
Well, certainly you need to, if, let's say, in my situation, Jehovah's Witnesses have a plethora of books, publications, all kinds of things that's what you're supposed to study. Do not study the Bible outside of what we have in this organization that we have determined is the truth in the Bible. All right. What you need to do then is to open the Bible and start reading it, you know, and praying to God. That's the one thing that no cult and no religion can take away from you, and that is the relationship that you have with God. If you believe in God, pray to Him that He opens your mind, that He opens your heart, that He helps you get out of this predicament that you find yourself in with all of these various things that are taking away your individuality, taking away your thinking, taking away things that you know that you can see are true. If you get into a situation where you say, don't believe what you see, you know, or hear, believe what we tell you, you're in trouble.
Right.
You're in trouble. Then you need to start looking at other things and finding out what is happening.
Okay.
But I would venture to say that if you would come to St. Mary's Episcopal Church, I think that you'd find something that's just absolutely wonderful, and that is healing to that process. And just come and sit and just pray and ask God to help you.
Okay, so you got this confirmation of your relationship with God as a just that personal relationship. And then you have to pray God and say, God, where are you leading me through this? Okay, then what would be the next step?
The next step would be to leave.
So it is good just to go cold turkey.
Oh, absolutely. It would be to leave that organization, because what's going to happen is they're going to do their best, which they tried, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses tried with me and my family to get us back in and say, well, you know, you really need to come back to the Kingdom Hall, and you know, this is the, you know, you're not doing right. You need to, you know, come back, and eventually, you know, once I made the split with them and gave them my testimony and saying, I do not believe as you believe, you know, they left us alone.
Okay, so if someone is struggling with this, and maybe they need to work through this, and maybe they don't have the confidence yet, or feel like they're in a safe place to do that, could, are there organizations, are there places, or is it you they could reach out to say, I kind of need some counsel on this? What would be your recommendation if they need
absolutely
some counsel on this?
Absolutely. If you need some counsel on this, I would love to speak with you. I'm available. In fact, I have a website called witnesstamperingbook.com.
Okay.
Witnesstamperingbook, all one word, .com. And you can go on there and read some of my book. Read some of the things that happened to me. They may have happened to you as well. And if they have, then make sure that you send me an email. And I'd love to hear from you. You can make contact with me, and I'd love to hear from you. Love to talk with you,
Barry. This has been so great and so informative, and it was a joy to read your book and learn more about you and about your story. And thank you for all your honesty on this. And most importantly, I hope that this will help touch others who might be in a similar situation where they do feel trapped or enclosed in whatever group they may be, whether it's religious or secular, and looking for a way out. And sometimes just having someone like yourself to come forward and say, I've been there, and there's the grass is greener and it'll get better. It could give a lot of people confidence with them. So, thank you for being here. Thank you for also offering yourself for counsel. So beyond the book, where else can people find you? You're on the socials.
I'm on the socials, Barry Grant Marsh. I'm on Facebook, BGM Creative. I'm on that. I'm out there, man.
Yeah, you find him on Twitter, BGM Creative.
Yeah, Twitter. BGM Creative, absolutely.
So I know Barry and I both share, we send a lot of prayers for all those who might be struggling in any kind of situation that could be cultish, but also for our brothers and sisters in the Bahamas who are just going through, we don't even know how bad it's going to be. And so for all those families and friends, for all those survivors, for all those who are going to be going through this trauma right now, and then for friends on the East Coast as well, who are now, the Cat 2 is just landing and just starting to stir up in the Carolinas. So we send our blessings upon them, and Amen. For all of us to just get off our butts and start sending money, sending our prayers, sending resources when it's appropriate, and maybe at one point sending us to go do work. So thank you for being here at A Priest and a Rabbi. You can find our podcast. If you missed any of the show, you just go on iTunes or anyone to find the Priest and a Rabbi, and please share it with other people. You can also find me on Your Favorite Christian. That is my YouTube channel where I just talk about all wacky things through the eyes of a priest. God bless you. We will see you next week with the Rabbi.